In today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about negotiations.
Because we're all negotiating, especially in business, all the time.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah. We want you to do your best.
Hi, I'm Heaton Shaw.
And I'm Stelly FD. Everything in life is really negotiation one way or another. At least you could look at it that way.
Well, I mean, it's always, unless your brains are joined, it's a negotiation because whatever you want is not necessarily what the other person wants.
There's also a nice quote. I don't remember the original author of it, but it's, in life you don't get what you deserve, you get what you negotiate. I like that.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Not a bad quote.
Must be a salesperson saying that.
No, I don't think so.
Well, then it's more impressive.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly. But one of the reasons why we want to talk about this is that a lot of people ask, a lot of our audience, which is awesome, are people that are small in one way or another. So they're either individual founders, single founders, bootstrapped, or self-funded startups, but also just VC-funded startups.
Yeah, early-stage companies.
People that are trying to accomplish big things.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to get good at negotiating.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's with, you know, co-founders, doesn't matter if it's with investors, doesn't matter if it's with customers, they're going to have to or acquirers, whatever it is.
Yeah.
They're going to have to learn how to negotiate, no matter if they think that's something that's part of their strength or not. So let's talk about some core principles that we believe in when it comes to negotiation, and then we'll just take it from there and see if we get to some tactical stuff.
Yeah, I think for me, some of the best negotiations or even relationships, because negotiation and relationships kind of go together too, right? Because negotiation implies there's another party, whether it's a company or a person. For me, one of the things is like if everyone's able to lay out their needs on the table, it works out better.
Yeah.
So I always try to like one of my principles is like, can we just figure out what we all want? And if not, like I'll keep asking you or I'll keep coming up with things that are a win for you. And am I right? Am I wrong? So I use strategies around getting everything on the table. That's what I call that. And that's a core principle for me. If I can get everything on the table, great. And for me specifically on that one, if I can't get everything on the table from the other party, I'll go figure it out.
Mm. What does that mean?
Do whatever I can to figure out what it is they care about. Look into their business, if it's a partnership, if it's an investor, it's like talking to a bunch of their investors, be like, how is this person on the board? Right? And just asking things that they might not be able to tell me because they don't know how to tell me.
Okay. So would you summarize that as core negotiation principle for you is transparency?
Yeah.
And understanding the other side? Is that
Like and what I would say is even transparency, it's like the search, not even transparency. I think that's too far.
Okay.
Right? Because like there's always like a give and take in these things, right? Because that's why we call it a negotiation. We're not talking about a conversation, right? We're talking about getting people wanting something from each other.
Yes.
Right? That's the definition, right? Yeah. So to me, it's actually not transparency. It's like, can we just put it all on the table? What do you care about? What do I care about? Right? In the context of this relationship.
Right.
And a lot of times people can't figure it out on the other end.
Yeah.
So I'll go get context about their business or whatever. Because fundamentally, it's usually about how do we all make money together? That's usually what most negotiations are about.
Right. So let's talk about, let's maybe even step one foot back and think about what are we optimizing for, right? In negotiation, you can optimize for the short term or the long term.
Yep.
Right? So maybe an overly simplified way of thinking about this is to say short term is probably a win-lose negotiation where you're trying to get as much as possible from the other side and give as little as possible.
Okay. And then that's a short-term way of thinking about negotiation.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then win-win is probably more of a long-term thinking of negotiation. Like, how can we
deal with this person for years, or I'm going to be doing business with this person for a long time. I mean, I'm just trying to quantify back to what is long-term versus short-term.
Right.
Because I think people can get confused about that. Yeah. I think there's a simple way, which is we're going to have to be in this relationship one way or another for a while.
Yes.
If this works, we're going to do more business with them.
Right.
That's the language I would use internally if we were talking about a partner, for example, any kind.
Okay.
You know?
So far, I think those are very core, simple principles.
Yeah.
But I think that...
Which is like pick which one?
Pick which one.
In this situation.
But I think that my hunch is that our audience... one of the things that that you're going to encounter... If we all could just lay it out, it could be like, what do you want? What do I want? Yeah. Let's just be real with each other and let's find a way to make this work. Life would be simple.
Yes.
I find that a lot of times when people come into a negotiation, a lot of times the other party, they're not coming in with that framework, right? They come in either from a position of assumed power or from a position of this is what I know about negotiation. Yeah. So they try to squeeze as much. They try to be overly aggressive. They apply pressure.
Yeah.
Right. So that hey, let's just all be real with each other doesn't really work there as well.
Yeah.
And if you know if we're talking to an engineering audience, right? If somebody's like more of an engineer, single founder of a self-funded startup, they're like, I'm not a really good negotiator, and I go talk to this really big company, and they're trying to squeeze down my price as much as possible. Yeah. I can't just be like, let's lay it out on the floor. Let's just be all real and find a way to make this work.
Yeah.
Because that's not the paradigm that they're coming into the conversation
with. That doesn't matter.
Why? How do you deal with that? How do you deal with the other opposing party having a completely different frame of mind?
You're trying to figure out the other party's intention.
Okay.
Right? And even if their intention is we want to pay the lowest price for something,
yeah,
it's your job to explain to them how they are paying the lowest price for it. Right. So this is just a strategy. It's like what you want, I will repeat and say, yes, you want that. Cool. Yeah. Let's figure out what that looks like.
Right.
Right. And why this is the lowest price or whatever. Right. So it's like it doesn't really matter how the other party's coming. If your approach is, look, I'm going to lay out my intentions. I'm going to lay out how I think about it. So that's why you often hear, and I don't know if this is good or bad, but you often hear people saying, oh, at that price, we're not even making any money.
Yeah.
I'm not saying whether that's a good or bad. Yeah. There's a time for all these strategies.
Yes.
Sometimes, most of the time, it's bad to say that.
Yeah.
But there's sometimes when you just need to say it because the person's just persistent about price.
Yeah.
You're like, look, I'm not going to make much money, so let's just not do it.
Yeah. I even just because I remember this sales guy once, the hey, we're not even making money. That's one way of saying it.
Yeah.
A better way, I heard once a sales guy say, we can't give you any more money. Like, we've lowered the price to the degree. I don't have any more money to give you.
Awesome.
Like, it was an interesting,
I like
it.
See? Interesting that's good.
Way of phrasing things, right? But
and then the person's like, what? What do you mean you can't give me more? Well, I've already given you money. I gave you a discount, whatever.
Yeah, I can't give you any
love
more
it.
Money.
Yeah,
I really like that.
Yeah.
But to me, one of my core principles that really fits into what you're saying, I think in a way that allows people to do it, is you need to know what your line in the sand is. You need to know your price. You need to know what am I willing to do, what I'm not willing to do before you enter the negotiation.
Yes.
Because you very casually talk about it and very like, I'm going to just tell them what I want, then what they want. And then I'm like, what if they're aggressive? And you're like, doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
The reason why you have that inner balance, that what I call friendly strength, is that you know.
You already know what you want. Yes, you did the work. You prepared. So
you know what
I think
want.
It's preparation. Yeah. Preparation is what a lot of people don't do, right?
Preparation?
Like,
that's one, I think. But the other component of this is knowing when you're going to walk away, just entering the discussion, entering a negotiation where you say, I want to win, but I'm okay walking away.
So
a lot of people never enter a negotiation with, I could just say no to this. And they're trying to make this work. That's the number one priority. And then they lose sight of, is this a deal that works anymore or not? Because they're just trying to make it work.
I'm going
to
give everybody a deadly strategy.
All
the
right.
deadly strategy is no matter what happens, I will be happy. If you could internalize that, it's on.
I like that.
I mean, it's not even a trust me. It's like every time I've internalized that in a negotiation, I get what I want.
Right.
Because I basically said, I'll be happy with any outcome.
Right.
And that doesn't mean you don't want it bad.
Yeah.
There's always one you want.
Right.
But if you could just internalize and say, I'll be happy regardless of what happens here. Because there's a chance this just won't be a good deal.
Yes.
Because I don't know the other party. I don't know what they're doing. I'm ready for alternatives for myself.
Yeah.
So that's what that's also, you could call it preparation or you could call it like knowing your limit, right? But like for me, it's like, there's going to be limits and great, those are parameters. But at the end of the day, it's like, I'm willing to walk away either way if this doesn't make sense.
Okay.
So you're really trying to figure out if this makes sense
together. You know why though? Because you come into the negotiation from a framework or a frame of mind that says we're equal.
Yes.
And I think too many people don't.
No.
Especially when they negotiate
with
a big VC
so
firm,
what?
A big company.
So what?
There is a reason why they're negotiating with you.
Yes.
And it's not because you're worthless and so small that you don't matter. You know, a lot of times I hear startups that go, we're so small and this company, this deal would change our lives.
Yeah.
That's the wrong frame of mind.
That's right.
The right deal will change both companies.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why a lot of people say in startups you can't do partnerships. You don't need partnerships, and it's because I think they don't take this approach.
Yeah.
Where it's like either way, we're gonna do our business whether we do this deal or not. It would be great to do this deal, and honestly, I will verbalize that to them.
Yeah.
If like if we're negotiating hard, I'm like, look, I want to make this work, but I'm totally willing to walk away because if we can't come to a good deal that makes sense for everybody, it doesn't make sense for anyone. It
doesn't make sense. Yeah.
But like, that's the internalizing. I'll be happy either way.
Yeah.
And that requires you to have a plan B.
Right.
Right. And that's what people forget. It's like, have confidence in some plan B. Even if it's not the better option, yeah, it's a option.
Yeah.
And that'll help you just not be so like, I want this, I want this, I want this. Because you cannot go into a negotiation going, I want this, I want this, I
yeah,
want this.
Yeah.
And because you're going to internalize it to the point where it's, you're going to feel bad if you don't get it.
Right.
And then you're going to be paralyzed for a while. I've seen people approach it like that. And I'm like, look, we have to be ready for any outcome.
Yeah.
There is a preferred outcome, but we are ready for any outcome. I even internalize that with my teams oftentimes when it's like these kind of situations where I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Right? A lot of this, like, negotiation is not so much like being this ninja, like, chess playing. It's a yeah, lot of just like
internal
stuff. Like internal.
Your own emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just understanding, what do we want? What do we not want? Why do they need us? How are we going to really make a difference?
Yeah.
And then how can we come into this conversation in a way that's going to benefit both of us? And if not, how can we just part ways in the best possible way?
That's right.
Just that energy will translate into a completely different direction of the conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had somebody the other day ask me, well, I always tell people they have to ask lots of questions early in the sales conversation to really understand the prospect,
yeah,
to know if they're a good fit, if they're yeah, qualified, if you yeah, should sell them. And then somebody was telling me, well, I talked to this company, and it's a large organization, and I started asking questions and they shut me down. They were like, this is not, you're not going to ask questions. We're asking the questions, then we're going to make the decision if we want to buy or not. And he's like, how do I deal with this?
Oh,
and I'm like,
easy. Go ahead. You first.
Very easy. Yeah. You tell them that's not how it's going to work this
yeah,
time. Like, I get that that's usually how you buy things,
yeah,
and that's really great.
Yeah.
We're not looking for normal customers. We're looking yeah, for partnerships.
Yeah.
I can't sell you if I don't know anything about you.
That's right.
I'm not going to allow you.
We're not continuing. We're done. We're good.
We're done.
Yeah.
So what I need you to do is step out of the typical frame of the way that yeah, you do things, and let's make this a better deal than usual.
Yeah.
I need to learn a few things about you to yeah, provide you
I'll
with
keep
value.
It to three questions.
Right?
Fine. No problem.
We can go back and yeah, forth, and then both sides will decide if we yeah, want to work together.
Yeah.
Right? And if that doesn't work, let's just stop the conversation.
Now. Yeah.
Right? And that is something I think that people like not even considering being an option.
That's
like,
right.
Like, they, because the other side yeah, is super aggressive, they yeah, instantly they instantly submit to that and go, yeah, oh, well, they told me I need to do it this way, so let's yeah, just do it this
That's
way.
That's right.
You don't have to.
No.
You don't have to sell to anybody.
No.
Right? You don't have to negotiate with anybody. You
That's
can
right,
always step up and go, these are my turns.
I'm out. Yeah, this is my line.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's a reason why they're there. Like, just yeah, always remember, there's a reason why they took the time to sat down and they're yeah, having a conversation with you. You
yeah,
have something of value to offer. Right? All right.
Here's the thing, though. I'm going to give a caveat on that.
Okay.
There's a way to approach that the opposite way and go, okay, from strength.
Yes. Okay.
So let's talk about that real quick.
Yeah.
Because I think, I'm not sure if it's easier or harder, but depending on the situation, you might do one or the other.
Okay.
Right? Because oftentimes, like, the other side is irrational.
Yes.
Or you don't understand why they're behaving the way they are. So you perceive them as irrational. So in that case, like, if someone, basically, I call that a don't come at me, bro.
Okay.
Right? So I internalize it and go, okay, oh, you're coming at me.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah,
like, and it's like, okay, all right. So I'm like, okay, all right. I apologize for that approach that I took,
uh-huh,
right? But I believe we're trying to create a partnership here.
Yeah.
If that's the approach you want to start with, that's great. But at some point, I'm probably going to have some questions. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so that's
yeah,
a softer way to say the same thing.
Yeah.
And if they say no, I'll be like, okay, well, send me your questions via email,
yeah,
and I'm happy to get them answered, right? I think this conversation's yeah, done because you have questions. You already have them in mind, right?
Yeah.
Why are we talking then?
Yeah.
You could do this via email then.
Yeah.
So I might even push them to a different channel, right? Because
yep,
like, I might not be ready to prepare to answer them. Freaking questions.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't expecting that. So I think there's a way you can approach it and do it their way.
Yeah.
But do it with strength. Just
yeah,
be like, recognize, make them recognize in the same way you were that this is not okay, but
yeah,
I'm willing to accept it.
Yeah.
Because if your process is your process.
I love that. You're
right?
So good at this friendly strength thing, you don't
yeah,
even realize
okay,
it.
All right.
Because
yeah,
you are, like, as you said, you're
yeah,
not pushing back as hard as I did.
No.
But you're still very strong.
Yeah.
Right?
You're still throwing in the, hey.
You're like, hey,
yeah,
okay, if this is your approach,
yeah,
I'm going to answer your questions.
Yeah.
But I will also have questions. Will
yeah,
they be ever
Is that
answered?
Okay?
Is that okay? Is
yeah,
that fair?
And if they say no, it's like, okay, then we'll approach it one way. And I know how to approach them.
Right.
And I'll be like, all right, then ask me the questions via email.
Right.
Because this conversation doesn't matter if it's not two-way.
Yeah.
Right? So you're almost insulting them,
down.
Right? Yeah, we don't have to sit down. Ask me the questions via email. I answer them. And if it's all on your end, great.
This points to
yeah,
another thing, which is time. another tactical thing. In negotiation, you don't have to respond to them in everything they ask you in real time.
That's right.
Right. So timing is a really important part of this.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to use time to your advantage.
Yes.
And the thing is, a lot oftentimes the start of the negotiation happens in email, not on a call.
Yep.
Right? Because you're already like trying to figure out what the other party wants, right? So I think people are not conscious of how quick they respond, how slow they respond, how quick the other party responds, how slow they respond. And it's not a game, but that cadence will help you understand what their cadence is. And then you can have an appropriate cadence on your end. Like sometimes I'll be slow on purpose. Sometimes I'll be super fast on purpose, right? But it's designed to help sort of keep the thing moving.
Yeah.
Sometimes slow is better because they might have asked a bunch of questions. If you flip them over too fast, it's like almost like you weren't thoughtful about it.
Yeah.
Right? Things like that, right?
I also think that you need to just be mindful of two things. Number one is you want the one core principle of negotiation in my book is that the more time we invest, the more invested we are. And this is true for both parties.
Yeah.
The more invested we are, the less effective we're negotiating because we really want this to come through.
Yes.
We've invested so much.
It's a fair point.
This is one of the reasons.
But you have to get that out of your head, I think.
Yes, yes. But
it's like the sunk cost fallacy type thing.
Yes, but there's a hack for small teams.
Okay.
And in large corporations, there's an organizational design that makes this work really well where the champion is going to talk to you for a month and they're going to get really excited and then they need to pass you on to legal and they don't give a shit about this. They're here about this for the very first
That's
day.
Right.
And you now
it's just more work for them.
But now you've invested a month, you're all excited, so you're now willing to make a lot more compromises. So they're churning you through legal and then they pass you on to procurement and it's a first day for them. So you constantly start on day one on their end and you are more and more invested.
On your end.
Month three, month
right.
four. One hack that we do internally is that because we're so small, is if I work on something for more than 30 days, I can't sign the deal or close the deal without getting anyone else in the company to agree to it. So I'll literally bring in a junior engineer and go, this is the deal I'm trying to
do. Yeah, what do you think?
What do you think? And it's been multiple times
where
the junior engineer will look at me and I'm like the sales guru and be like, that makes no sense.
Yeah, you're like, okay.
No. I'm usually first. Yeah. I'm like, well, you don't understand. And I'm trying. Yeah, now I'm selling their side. Yeah. It's because
does it always work?
And, well, usually the engineer goes, it still doesn't make any sense. And then at that point, I typically go, God, everybody's so difficult here. Now just storm out the room.
And then you go work
realize,
it.
Oh, shit,
and then you go work it.
Yeah,
like, oh.
So this is our hack of doing this. But so that's one component.
Yeah.
Like the more time you invest, the more invested you are. So
that's good.
Even when people ask us about pricing, pricing negotiation is something we never do on day one.
Yeah.
Right? We always go, use the product, do the trial, figure out if this is the right product, and then we'll figure out pricing, right, when the right time comes. So some parts of the negotiation are very difficult, so you want to do them at the right time or answer them or respond to them at the right time.
Yeah.
So, and the same thing is if you're unprepared. This is something people on the phone or in person, somebody asks them something they're not prepared to, and they're not comfortable saying,
I don't know, or I'm going to find out.
Or, that's a great question. Let's push this aside. What other questions do you have? We'll come back to this later.
Yeah.
Just this, like, we don't have to respond to everything in real time.
Yeah.
Right? It's a very, very important thing because it allows you to keep control. If you don't know.
I have a problem with the way you said it.
Okay.
Just specifically because you said we're going to push this aside or we're gonna come back to this.
Yeah.
And I think that if someone wants a question answered, it's very difficult to keep them motivated through the conversation if you say that.
Yeah.
So the things I would say are like, so if someone asks me a question, I just don't want to answer it or I don't know the answer. I would try to flip it over, like not flip it over, but I'd try to make them feel positive about the fact that they asked the question.
Mm.
So I think what you did about that's a great question and that was good. Yeah. But then when you say we'll come back to it, nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah.
So I'd rather say something like, that's a great question. I need to look into that to get you a good answer.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to give you a bad answer.
So that's
right?
fair.
And I don't want to tell you something that's not true.
That's fair if I don't want to answer that question in that conversation.
Oh, but you're saying in the same conversation, like pricing or something.
No, sometimes at the beginning they're like, well, I have this like security concern about this really complicated thing. And I'll go, okay, is that the only concern or what else do we want to talk about on this call today? So what I do is I'm trying to get all the things on the table so then I can prioritize them and then we can attack them one by one. Because a lot of times what I'll hear is a conversation that zigzags wildly because the
prospect control the conversation in the sales process.
And helping the other party also prioritize. Yeah. If the person tells me, this is the only thing I have on my mind.
Great, most important, done. All right, we're going to go for it. I like that.
A lot of times they don't and they have like 20 questions and then I will force them and go, okay, we have now all these questions. These are great questions. Yeah. Let's quickly check which ones are the most important ones. Right? What are the absolute must-haves? Let's start there and see how much of the other ones we can address in the 30 minutes that we have.
That's right.
Right? Because a lot of times you start and you're addressing all the nice-to-haves and you never get to the core of it. Because
that's right. Because you don't even know what they cared about. They didn't think it through. Yeah. Make them think it through if they haven't. Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. I got another one.
Yes.
This one's really interesting. When you said real-time, it came to mind. In two places, this happens a lot. So when you get an offer letter to work at a company, they have an expiry date on it.
Yeah.
When you get a letter, when you get a term sheet, it usually has an expiry date on it too. And I think people get really worried about the expiry date.
Yeah.
But at this point, they've already, on both sides, you've already agreed to terms.
Yeah.
Right? Or I'm sorry, someone's proposing terms more accurately.
Yes.
Right? And they're giving you a deadline. I've never seen that deadline be held if it didn't need to be.
Right.
So a lot of people get really antsy. Like, I got to make a decision by this date. I got to make a decision by this date. But it's really a communication thing, not a decision thing.
Yes.
It's like they want you to make a decision too. But don't get stuck in the pressure of it because that's what they're trying to do. And it's just a normal practice. I don't think anyone means this anymore. Because it's just not how things work. Yeah. We don't get dates anymore. Like, that's not – nobody works on that timeline, right?
Yes.
Because it's artificial.
I love that. Yeah. Deadlines.
Yeah.
Budgets.
Yeah.
Budgets. Yeah. I love it. Oh, we have this – it can't be over this budget. When was the last time you were under budget?
Yeah.
Right? When was the last time you were on the deadline? These things
– let's talk about value, not budget.
Yes. I mean, not that these things don't matter at all, but these things are not laws of physics. It's not like gravity. People are like, oh, if we don't hit this number, they don't have the budget for it. They've been over budget tons of times. Let's talk about value and not about
budget.
If we don't make the decision by this time, then it's not going to go through. I'm not sure.
All
maybe.
Right. We can try for that timeline. Yes. Right? We can try.
But it's
important. I love that, by the way. When people tell me a timeline, I love it because I'm like, here's what we're going to have to do to get to that timeline. Uh-huh. And then I explain it.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm like, great, you have a timeline. I love that.
Awesome.
But let me tell you what we're going to do. And we're going to have to adhere to get to that date.
Yes.
Right?
And also, I like the
that's like revealing something about them. I love that.
Like, yeah. I like
showing a card. Come on, give me a card. Yeah.
I like the communication bit of this because if you think the timeline is not realistic, this is part of figuring out how the relationship is going to be. Like, how do we, okay, this is your deadline. Here are my three reasons why I need this much more time.
Yeah.
Let's see how you respond to that. If you're super unreasonable, super aggressive, what does that reveal about the relationship?
That's right.
About you? Like, do I really want to join your company if you're so hyper aggressive about 2 days?
Yeah.
Is that really going to make a difference?
Yeah. So the only thing I would say about that approach is like, I do the exercise first of how is it possible in that timeline? Mm-hmm. And I actually tell them what it's going to take.
Yeah.
Because usually that makes it get extended faster than any other way I've tried.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if I want to extend it, I actually first agree to their timeline. But I say, okay, if we'd like to do that timeline, here are the 5 things that need to happen between now and then.
Right.
So even if you're in a negotiation for like salary or like in that, it's like they give you a deadline or they say, hey, we need to hire this person by this day. Great. On my end, I got to do all these things. I got to talk to 3 of your customers or I got to do this.
Yeah.
Can you set all those things up for me? Because if so, I can get it done then.
Yeah.
And if we can't set them up, then we're going to have to extend it.
I think a lot of times, though, especially in like salary or like joining a company, it's that you are waiting for another offer or something of those sorts. So you have like 2 or 3 offers. You want to look at all of them before you decide.
Yeah.
And the company doesn't want you to do that, right?
Yes.
The company just wants you to agree.
But if you're up front and say, look, I've got options, and you tell them what you're looking for in the options, because you're not, if you're looking for money, tell them you're looking for money. If you're looking for something else, tell them that because there's a reason you're waiting.
Yeah.
Right? And it might be that they're not your first option.
Yeah.
And obviously you don't want to necessarily tell them that. Right? Yeah. But there's an art to this. Like you want something.
Yeah.
Something would make you join the company if they changed that offer.
Right.
And that's why you're looking at options.
Right.
So I actually would be upfront about that with people because once you tell them that, hey, I'm looking at options, they start getting like, you've got them a little more anxious and got them to want you more in most cases, unless they don't want you at all.
Yeah.
Or that turns them off. But like, it shouldn't, because the reality is, especially when you're hiring, people have options.
I'll give you one last negotiation hack, and this is a this is the simplest negotiation tactic from a like practical point of view, but the hardest from an emotional point of view.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people might think, well, I'm an engineer, or I'm more introverted. I'm not like that great of like being super confident necessarily in these conversations. And I deal with people like VCs or large buyers. They're doing this full time, right? That's their bread and butter. And you're doing this once in a while. Yeah. So you're not going to be as effective. One beautiful tactic in negotiations is just to shut the fuck up.
Oh, yeah.
Quiet.
That's key.
Right? Key. A lot of times if you just don't say anything, the social awkwardness of the situation will force the other side to keep talking. And usually that's when they're going to reveal what's really on their mind.
Oh, yeah.
I have a story, and we can link to that, where we saved $225,000 in a deal.
Yeah.
All I did was I was quiet.
Yeah, nice.
And I allowed the other person on the phone to negotiate with themselves.
Yeah.
We needed to get out of a contract, right? We couldn't we pivoted the company. Yeah. We didn't need that thing anymore. We went back and forth. You know, we applied pressure from all angles.
Oh, yeah.
And eventually the guy came around, calls me, and offers me something, you know, to get out of the contract. I thought that we would probably have to pay $100K to get out of the contract. He offers me $50K, right, to get out of the contract.
Yeah.
And I just didn't say anything. He was like, well, you know, here's what I can do. It's really the best, and blah, blah. I went back to the legal team and everybody. I championed $50,000 and and we can get out of the contract.
Okay, and then what happened?
And he's like, well, you know, another thing we could do, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, interesting. Another thing we could do is, well, if you could wait, it was October or something, if you could wait till January, then I could probably come down even more.
Music to my ears.
I'm silent.
You're still
silent. I'm not even saying, hard. I don't even say
cool.
You're
like, this is going well. Like, let's just...
Let him talk to himself for a second. He's like, because, you know, the next year, you know, I could probably do something between, you know, 25 and 40. I'm like, 25K January, that's cool with me.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, Sally, well, I'm really glad we figured this out. I hung up and I'm like, holy shit.
I said a couple things.
Holy shit, right? Yeah. I was aiming for 100. Yeah. I got 25.
Yeah.
And I didn't do anything. I was just quiet. I just let the other side negotiate with themselves.
That's right.
This is an awkward thing to do. It takes emotional discipline to be quiet.
Oh, you just hit mute. No, you hit mute. You hit mute.
I love that.
Oh, you hit mute. This is easy. What are you talking about? You hit mute.
And then when they go, are you still there? You unmute?
Yeah,
yes.
Dude, I've done that. I hit mute because I can't shut up.
Yeah.
And I'm actually talking to them all
the time. I love
that. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
I love it. But
then you don't have that issue in your head, right?
I love that. So in certain really crucial moments where it's an exercise of nerves, it's really beautiful to just stop. You know, stop talking and let the other side negotiate with themselves. I heard even somebody was on Shark Tank like a few years ago. I still remember that because the guy was like, these are the terms that I'm giving. And some investor was like, these terms don't work. What is something better you can do?
Yeah.
And the guy was like, I can't negotiate with myself. Tell me what you want. I was like, boom, I like it.
And they respected him for that.
I'm like, I can't negotiate with myself, right? Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, if anyone throws you that, just throw them that back.
There you go. Yeah, well, I don't like this deal. What else can you do for us? Yeah. Just tell me what you want.
Tell me what you want. Yeah, exactly. Want, it's cool. Tell me what you want.
But the beautiful thing is on the flip side, if you are silent or if you let the other side really negotiate with themselves, a lot of times they will agree to something that's much better than what you thought they would be willing to agree.
Yeah.
Your expectations are usually a lot more critical, a lot more cynical than the reality is.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting way to overcome that, you know, because you're so inexperienced, you're probably going to settle for something that's much lower, much higher, depending on what you're trying to do, than what they're willing to do.
So I want to describe that in a certain way before we're done, but like I would call that like pain threshold. Because in that scenario, that gentleman probably had a lot of pain over this.
Yeah.
Because the alternatives of you like getting out of a contract is them suing you.
Yeah.
That's more painful than him just figuring it out with you.
Yeah.
And now if he's the one that's essentially negotiating with you because he gave you the deal, he's in hot water.
Yeah.
So the pain threshold of his is probably super high.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you just shut up, that's why he's probably negotiating himself out of it. He's trying to lower the pain and make sure you do it.
Yes. In this case, it was actually an account manager.
Yeah.
So not the owner of the business or anything like that. And he agreed to a deal with us where he got a crazy commission because it was a 3-year deal where the first 2 years we don't pay anything, but the third year we pay a shit ton.
Yeah.
So the total deal value was massive. Yeah.
So
it was
you
great
suckered
for
him? Okay.
No. Just kidding. I mean, he set up the deal. Yeah. He set up the deal in a way that was great for him and great for us, bad for the company, really. But at that point, we're like a 3-person startup with like 10K in the bank
or something.
So this is a massive organization.
There's no choice. Yeah.
So 2 years later, we need to get out of the contract or our business is gone.
Makes sense.
Right? So, and that's why he pushed it to January, because he knew if he like lowers, he cancels that deal, it's going to affect kind of his salary or bonus.
Right,
but
now,
if it's the next year,
then he can work it off.
It's not that bad.
Makes sense. Right? Yeah.
So he wanted
to figure it out.
Yeah, he wanted.
Did you
to
know that
out.
Going into it?
No, I didn't. I had 5 conversations with him beforehand where I was all nice, just telling him like, we're going to fucking go bankrupt next month because of this. And then you're not going to get anything.
Yeah.
And he was basically telling me, it doesn't fucking matter to me. Like, it's better for me for you to go bankrupt, not pay us anything, than me having to cancel this contract or do something else, because it's not in my best interest. He was blaming it on accounting and the legal department, but it was really what was going on.
Yeah.
So I had zero leverage on him. And he was literally saying, I'd rather have you pay zero. It's better for me personally as an account executive than you paying like whatever less and getting out of the contract. Yeah. So we had to find a way.
We had to find a way to make it work.
Yeah. So in our case, we had somebody that put somebody on their board, and that board member
put some pressure.
We had to do what we had to do. I don't love doing that, but it needed to be done.
That's the other piece of it. Don't just deal with the person in front of you when it's a harder negotiation and the other party doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
You got to surround them. I call it surround them. It's a strategy. I'm doing it right now in a few things, and I'm just surrounding them.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, hey, you figure out what you want to do, but I'm going to keep pushing till I get what I want.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes. And that's the persistence, right?
Yeah. All right, I think we've given a lot of tips for this episode.
I'd
love to hear a discussion around this.
Negotiation is so important.
Negotiation is so key. We all can get better at this. And just understanding it even, so you get what the other side is doing. So go to thestartupchat.com/FB for Facebook. It's a Facebook group.
Yeah.
It's a community of now 1,300 entrepreneurs. Business people that are all sharing advice, helping each other, having discussions around these episodes.
Yep.
I love to hear kind of everybody's tips, tricks, the things they've learned, the things that work or didn't work on negotiating in life broadly. We'll hear you guys next week.
See ya.
See ya.